You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, March 18th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It's Casual Friday, folks. You know what that means. Cliff Schechter will be joining us. And to give us a film recommendation, Film Guy Matthew will join us in studio. Also on the program today, Apple encryption engineers may resist government orders to unlock iPhones. You rarely see these type of sort of honorable, I guess, moments of honor resignations. Meanwhile, rabbis to boycott Trump's AIPAC speech. Some of them for the right reasons. And in Flint, Michigan, or I should say in Washington, D.C., the governor of Michigan is reamed for trying to basically spread the blame around for his total F-up and poisoning of people in Flint, Michigan. And Christine O'Donnell comes to the nation's rescue. She couldn't sit back anymore. Do you even remember who she is? She was the woman who was not a witch and running for Senate in, I think it was Maryland? I can't remember.
You know what? Delaware.
Delaware.
Just got it.
She couldn't come. She could not sit back because people were sitting around going like, Christine O'Donnell is silent. I wonder if this means she supports Trump. And people were just like, what's happening? How can this be? Fortunately, she came out of her hole and told us no. And also good news, no more orca breeding or shows at SeaWorld. It's nice. More on President Obama's Supreme Court pick. And we now have polling for New York State. Looking good for the general, regardless of who the nominee is. Not so great for Sanders. But we will talk about his potential route to the nomination. Sorry we got a little late start today, ladies and gentlemen, but all is well now. And, you know, I want to start, we're going to start with this. I got to start with this sound because it's just so annoying. Exactly. I have a as you know, I think longtime listeners of the program know that I have in my doll collection, yes, I have a doll collection of basically just right-wing action figure dolls to remind me of how insane things were in the early aughts. As we were on the eve of invading and occupying Iraq, and the right-wing movement, which has now brought us Donald Trump, was born and gave us right-wing icons like Ann Coulter, who had her own action figure doll, or Donald Rumsfeld with his own action figure doll, George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush. I have one of those. I should actually put all of them up there. I have on my Twitter background now, I have a image of George Bush in front of the microphone here. I should put Dennis Miller and Ann Coulter there too. But Dennis Miller was one of those guys who the right actually considered some type of hero. I'm still not clear why. But he's still alive, apparently, and going on Bill O'Reilly, not with the same level of fanfare, but certainly with the same level of idiocy and unfunniness. Here he is on Bill O'Reilly to give his analysis about what's going on with Hillary, man.
As far as yesterday's election, kids, I want to say this to the kids out there. I know you're voting for Hillary. What in the hell happened to kids? When I was a kid, if I'd looked at this,
pause,
I
it
would have said,
what? Just 2 points I want to make clear to you folks. One is, actually, in terms of an age breakdown, most kids are backing Bernie. Two, if you want to speak to kids, the last place in the universe you want to go is on to the Bill O'Reilly television program. That's like fishing in a dry stream, man.
Oh.
Where tribbles have come in and eaten all the fish and taken all the water because of the Gargoyles who came in and used their water evaporating machine.
Foreshadowing.
All right, just roll it back. Let's listen to what dumb Dennis Miller has to say.
Voting for Hillary. What in the hell happened to kids? When I was a kid, if I'd looked at this, I would have said, what are you kidding me? And I see kids behind her. They're like at the sawhorse outside the plaza when the Beatles were hanging out the window. They're so excited.
All right, pause it. First off, he said, when I was a kid, if I saw this, I would have been like, what are you kidding me? Because now, in this day and age, people don't use that phrase anymore. Are you kidding me? They say, what are you doing? Pulling my leg? And so then he makes the reference of like, these kids are acting like they're so excited to see her. Like they're at a Beatles concert with police barricades.
Well, shave my head and call me Bernie.
Yeah, exactly. That is the funniest thing I've ever thought of. Go ahead.
Hillary, what in God's name happened to you? To me, Hillary sounds like Karen's mom in Goodfellas when Henry came home at sunrise. What's sort of people are they? That's what she sounds like. What are kids doing?
I like how Bill O'Reilly fakes laugh. Like, I know what you're talking about. Karen's mom who came home after the thing in that movie that nobody's seen in 25 years.
Hillary's like the extra in the third scene in Mean Streets when Scorsese said on the voiceover DVD edition that she actually had a larger part, but it got cut because she didn't deliver her lines properly. That's what Hillary's like.
I gotta say, Bill, I'd say more it's like the Pelican Brief when Denzel Washington is walking out of his car and you look down the street and you see that lady walking across the street with the blue coat, but then the other lady comes walking across the she's got a red coat, and when she turns her head just for a minute, she's way off camera, out of focus. That's what Hillary's like to me.
She's like the third extra in Risky Business who I met in Santa Monica in 1982, whose lines got cut because they needed to edit it down for a wide theatrical release. Tell the kids that. They'll get it.
Kids, it's like the adventures of the Rusty in that show when Danny's upset because his widow or father is remarrying, even though Anne, played by Lindsay, is someone the boy likes having known for a while his mother was alive. That's what Hillary's like. Or in that movie called the The Cowboy and the Lady, where Gary Cooper's there with Merle Oberon and saying to her, hey, you're the daughter of Horace and the niece of Hannibal, and Irvin Bacon appears uncredited as Smith's secretary. That's what she's like.
It's like American Anthem about Steve, a talented young gymnast who can't give up on the competition. Everyone knows what I'm talking about.
But what I'm talking about is like Petticoat Larceny with Ruth Warwick and John Carroll, Walter Reed. And Ruth Warwick's looking at Joan Carroll and saying, what are you doing?
They're all excited about Hillary, but really it's like The Apple about a young group of people who enter the music industry and get addicted to drugs.
So anyway, Bill, that's what's on my mind.
Those are my zeitgeisty references for your 70-year-old viewers who don't remember these movies either.
And of course, I can't take my tie off or my entire chest tumbles out of my body. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Cliff Schechter. Sorry, we couldn't help ourselves.
Oh, my God.
We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Casual Friday. It's so casual, we started late today even. And on Casual Friday, one of the ways we like to celebrate the end of the week is playing this song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.
Why, hello, Cliff Schechter, how are you?
I am doing well, Samuel. How are you?
I am doing well. Oh, wait a second. Let me raise your volume up there for a second.
I talk very meekly, so I
know. You're so shy. You're so shy, Cliff. We feel like you've really come out of your shell over the past couple of weeks.
Help me come out of my shell, Sam.
Yeah,
help me.
You were so shy when we found you. Just a little.
Help me help you.
Just a little wallflower. And then.
I owe it all to the Majority Report.
So, Cliff, let's talk about, obviously, gosh, did we have results this week? We did.
It's all blending into each
other. Oh, my God. It was only 3 or 4 days ago. We had.
I know. Is that crazy? That seems like a week ago. And we only found out about Missouri yesterday.
Yes. Very, very strange that this is.
You know what? You tell me if I'm wrong here. I don't even think we've gotten the Republican result in Missouri yet. I think that's still too close.
No, it's still too close. But, I mean, you know, the bottom line is I think we're past now where a victory in a state or not makes a difference. I mean, we're starting to get into actual sort of delegate numbers.
I'm just making the point that it took, you know, it's interesting that it was so close on both sides there. But it's correct. It's a numbers game at this point. You got to count the delegates.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Democratic race, and then we'll go to the Republican race, and then we'll work our way to the general. I know that we had sort of talked maybe we would do that the opposite way, but the terrain changes now for Bernie Sanders, and we're starting to hear supposedly President Obama, you know, said something in behind closed doors to some fundraisers. I mean, we're starting to see these murmurs. We're starting to see some in the Clinton camp say it's time for Bernie Sanders to drop out. I mean, and last night Bernie Sanders was on Rachel Maddow and basically shut that talk down. I mean, it's quite clear to me that he's not going to drop out. I personally do not see any reason for him to do so. I mean, we have we've had contested Democratic primaries each time that have gone quite the distance. Each time a Democratic president has won in recent years, and by that I mean like you know the past 20 or 30. And frankly, the biggest damages that Hillary Clinton took to her polling was when the primary was essentially late to start because they wouldn't do any debates.
It's true. And I mean, the biggest damage she's taken to anyhow is obviously some of the email stuff that's not even didn't come from Bernie Sanders, have nothing to do with the primary.
Right.
You know, I'm of the same mind. I've thought this, you know, in it's tougher in sort of certain other races. I think there's different strategic calculations, but a presidential race, it's not like there's not going to be enough money there. Like, oh, no, you're going to spend all your money and be done. Right? I mean, everybody's going to put the requisite funds into that. And that comes from many sources now in our current state of our democracy. And you know, why I was not a fan anyhow of the Debbie Wasserman Schultz plan. I'm not really a fan of most things Debbie Wasserman Schultz comes up with for the debates on Saturday night, because these guys, you know, obviously it seemed like it was tilted to help Hillary, but in the end, I don't really think it did. I mean, I think debating and getting your message out there with free media is, you know, to a larger group is a good thing. Honing, you know, improving your debating by doing it is a good thing.
Of course.
For both sides. So and now that we're going sort of to a different group of states, in a manner of speaking, there's that adds an interesting challenge too. I mean, we've still got a few Northeastern and or Mid-Atlantic or whatever you want to call them. We got Pennsylvania still and New York, but I would think that we go out and largely have a number of Western contests. That's a place where you need to be able to showcase your message too.
Right, and
so let's have that test.
And we should say
on both sides
that in six of eight. Primary / caucuses that are going to take place over the next month or so, right? We've got Alaska, Hawaii, Washington, Wyoming, and Bernie Sanders is a strong favorite to win those. He's a strong favorite to win the Utah primary. And he's going to, and according to the polling that I've seen, and it's been, you know, here's the thing. We're getting into that zone, too, where there's very little polling about these places. And some of it, the polling is really old, and so it's very hard to predict. But he's running very strong in those states, strong enough to sort of maintain the size of margin he needs to accumulate the delegates he needs for, you know, the deficit that he has. But then you go, and then, you know, I think we got Arizona and in Wisconsin.
That's right.
And that's
Wisconsin, you'd expect might be a good one for him.
You'd expect it because of the history of unionization there and of just sort of broadly strong progressive values. But, you know, we don't
activism
know.
Or, right. You know, in Madison and places like that. I mean, no, we don't know. The honest situation is this. If you look at it from a purely objective point of view, Bernie is definitely has a serious challenge on his hands.
Definitely. I mean, here's the biggest thing.
But it's not undoable. It's just right. I was reading what Nate Silver's stuff this morning, some other places, and what he was saying was he would have to average wins with 58% of the vote, because these are all sort of proportional to make it up. Well, that's a pretty high order, and it's so if we're going to be honest, we're going to say, you know, it's a serious challenge, and Bernie's up against it. But that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done and that he can't do it.
Right.
So
I mean, because people have to start thinking about like places like California. Can Bernie Sanders win 58-42 in California? In New York State, there was a poll that came out that showed that he's 30 points behind. I mean, they both rival. This was an Emerson College. Now, I don't know. You know, it's the only poll I've seen, frankly, out of New York State.
Right.
But he is Clinton's ahead of Bernie Sanders by 48 points in New York. Now,
right.
Now, maybe that poll is wrong, and I'm only saying this just so that people have a realistic notion of what's going on here. My feeling is people should still continue to work for Bernie Sanders, to support Bernie Sanders, to vote for Bernie Sanders, but understand that what you're doing is not you cannot measure what you're doing based upon what the delegate count is going to be when you get to that convention. You have to see what you're doing as part of a longer, basically just a longer game. That the stronger he is, even if there's no leverage with Clinton, the stronger he is sending a message to the Democratic Party. And frankly, you know, the bottom line is when he's winning people ages 18 to, 34, this is the future of the party. And this is where people meet each other. They learn organizing skills. They get together and express, like, workout values. I mean, this is important stuff that's happening now.
No, it absolutely is. And it doesn't mean that there still isn't time to shape the platform by his being there, you'd expect, obviously, he would get a pretty big speech at the convention and in front of a lot of people. And so there's that aspect of it. So, I mean, and again, what I was saying before, which is you can always become a better candidate.
Yep.
You can always be, I think let it play out. And if it gets to a point where it's something that is numerically impossible, then maybe he should drop out. But we're not there, and we may never be there for a while. So
what drives me crazy are people who I watch in the media who are not official Clinton surrogates, but they are surrogates for essentially about as centrist positions as you can get. And ostensibly they're talking about, Sanders should get out because of made-up reason about, what it's damaging Clinton or whatnot. And all I hear is we really, really got to put a cap on this narrative of a huge portion of the Democratic Party subscribing. And obviously, I think,
right.
And I don't know that...
quickly.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Well, just subscribing to a far more progressive agenda than Hillary Clinton represents. And I would say, and I don't even think this is controversial, but maybe if you want to push back on this or anybody can push back on this, I think there are far more people. I don't think this dynamic goes both ways. I think there are a lot of people who subscribe to Bernie Sanders' political agenda, but are voting for Clinton because they think it's a more practical choice, not even from a functioning as a president, but as a candidate. And that's, that's not beanbag. That's irrelevant that,
No, I think that's true. I mean, at least in my experience, from what I've seen, I think that's true. I also think, and, I hope I'm not getting in a danger zone here for saying something that is obvious, because this isn't everybody, but it is some people, which is there are people, and I don't see any problem with this, who are supporting Hillary Clinton because she's a woman. Because there definitely are some women I know who are probably whose positions more line up with Bernie Sanders, but they're supporting Hillary, and they would be honest about that. And why is there something – I don't really think there's anything wrong with saying, we want the first female president.
Of course.
Right? So there's that too, whereas I don't really see, people who are closer in their positions to Hillary, like, I want the first Jewish president from Vermont, so I'm with Bernie.
Right.
I mean, the people that are supporting Bernie are supporting Bernie because they believe in what he's got to say. I think that's definitely true.
Yeah. And I want to reiterate what you said. Voting for somebody to become the first female president, I mean, a lot of our policies are about trying to push equality. And I really, it is, I think you don't get a quality automatically. And in that moment when, you know, and I think Obama has shown us this, you don't get a quality in that moment. But what you do do is empower people. And I'm not convinced, I mean, I'm not convinced that you would see as much sort of, I think, fervor and enthusiasm and determination and strength and empowerment in, frankly, young black activists in this country were it not for some measure the idea of like, look, you know, we have a black president. I mean, I think on some level that is
incredibly important. People forget sometimes that, that, you know, we a lot that as human beings, we have a herd mentality, and we're all, many of us are scared to step out and do something that's different than what the expectations are around us. And, you know, so can you imagine what it is and what it was? I can imagine. I don't know what conversations you had with your parents when you were young or whatever, but for young African Americans to be told, there's no way you can be president, which for obviously many generations. I mean, I wasn't told that, but my parents were like, nope, never been a Jewish president. You know what I mean? It's every single one has been a white Christian male. You kind of hear that, and then in your mind, on some level, you're saying, "Well, that's not an option for me." And the giving hope, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm saying you should only vote for somebody based on that, or you shouldn't. The truth of the matter is, Bernie getting elected, I sort of was joking there with the Vermont thing and whatever, but I mean, it doesn't seem to be playing out as much. I don't think there's as much mentality around. It may be partially because Joe Lieberman, God help us all, if that, you know, was a vice presidential nominee, so that we already went through the sort of public, hey, look, there's a Jew at the, you know, on the top level. I don't know, but it may just be that that there's so many other things that seem like they're bigger breaking, you know, it's a bigger step forward. That's the reason why, but there is something to that. I mean, if Bernie Sanders were to get elected, then you could say, all right, you know, there's been a Jewish president. And in her case, obviously, in Hillary's case, you've got a female president. I think these are all important because they make everybody belong in this country,
yeah.
which is why, you know, we go back on the negative side of all that, to Trump's rhetoric, because when you tell people who are Muslim they don't belong, or who are Mexican they don't belong, and you literally make them have to fear for their kids' safety, but
right.
also sort of make them walk around feeling almost, I'm not saying in everybody's case, but in some cases maybe ashamed of who they are because you're not part of the greater us.
Well, just afraid.
That's really damaging too.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and so that's why the cultural stuff is incredibly important.
So we are seeing, I mean, let's stay over on that side of the ledger. On the Republican side, we're seeing this sort of coalescing around Ted Cruz, but it's really sort of the last gasp. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that if Trump ends up being, and this is what is so disgusting to me about the Republican Party, and what I'm really, you know, what I'm finding, you know, increasingly frustrating is there is a real attempt by Republicans, and it seems to me the centrist media is playing into this. There is no doubt that Donald Trump has, you know, fascistic tendencies that are unique to him. I mean, he is promoting violence. It is a mechanism. He is promoting divisiveness in an overt way, and it is a full-throated, unembarrassed, unshamed, electoral strategy.
Separating people out by classes of people and the harmful sort of the what's the right way to put it, the sort of glorification of violence as part of the overall kind of, it's tied into the misogyny because it's this macho male kind of thing, which is always prevalent in fascist societies of, you know, that's why you want a strong man like him or like a Putin, right? I mean, because it's all tied into this, you know, people are feeling disempowered and weak for various reasons. Here, you could argue it's manufacturing jobs leaving, whatever. But he's the strong guy who's going to take everything on. He's going to knock down political correctness. He's going to stop those damn foreigners. He's going to, you know, he's going to blow up people and bomb the crap out of them, I believe, was his phrase. I mean, that all ties into that stuff.
All right.
I mean,
it all
does.
Now, with that said, if Donald Trump wins the Republican nomination, all right, and we all know, and this is the reality of it, if the Republican Party wanted to stop him at all costs, they could do so. They could enter into that convention hall on day one as the rules committee organizes. They could decide no delegates are pledged. We're not doing it this year. It would be suicide in terms of their election chances in the general. But otherwise, they are endorsing every single thing he's doing in this regard. This stuff is so out of the pale, where he's threatening violence in an organized fashion as the leader of his party against the party if they do something he doesn't like. They are endorsing it. And if Paul Ryan doesn't come out there and say, I will not support this guy, I'm not going to vote for him, at the very least, you know, I mean, you could say, like, they own it. And there's not been, this point has not been made enough. It's one thing to say, I'm going to support Ted Cruz. Okay, great. Well, you know, we got people who are supporting Bernie Sanders. And that's just normal election primary stuff. But you cannot say that this guy is uniquely terrifying and distinct from the Republican Party and then say, but I will support him if he's our nominee.
And I'd go a step further even, because it's not even just distinct from the Republican Party. It's distinct from the American experience and our values. I mean, that's the things that they're saying.
Right.
You know, some of them are saying the Republican Party, but they're saying this, you know, I mean, people from Mitt Romney through Paul Ryan did say something like this early on before, of course, coming around. And others who have said, you know, this is not what America is about, you know, singling out groups by their religion and others. This is not, these are not our values. These are abhorrent to our, you know, this is something that we find abhorrent and is unacceptable. And then the next question is, well, would you support him if he's the Republican nominee? Oh, yeah, of course. And it's like, you can't say both of those things in the same sentence. You look like an idiot. So I'm interested to see where that goes. And I, like you, think that most of the establishment types, because they're at heart, they're about power and they're careerists, and the rest will just fall into line.
Oh, yeah.
I think what will be more interesting will be two groups. One is what social conservatives that don't trust his social conservatism will do, because they've broken away before and they've stayed home before and cost certain Republicans. And that is a possibility. And the other one is really just sort of mainstream, you know, Republicans who may not be as conservative politically as someone like a John Kasich or whatever, but can sort of say, okay, I can vote for someone like that because he has experience and, you know, he's not a complete nutball and the rest, but who can't just in their minds, and we're talking about on the ground level voters. And, you know, look, it's anecdotal at this point, but I can tell you that I've come across in, you know, the work I do here, I talk to Republican lobbyists for, you know, here and there, and I talk to other Republican voters, and I've come across three people I could say already who are people that have never once not voted for a Republican presidential candidate who have said they won't vote for Hillary, but they cannot vote for Trump, and that they will not do it. And they were willing to tell me that quite clearly. So is that
well,
is
tell
that
them to give them my
trend?
Number and I'll tell them how they're still they still own Trump if they don't vote.
I'm not saying
him.
That I'm talking about though winning in the end.
Right.
I think that you own Trump too. I think you own Trump for supporting this party for the last 20 years.
Yep.
And, you know, but in the end, I'm more important to me than his whether he wins the nomination or not is that he not become president.
Now,
so every single one of them who wants to not pull a lever for him, I'm fine with that.
Right, absolutely. Now, we're hearing a lot of strum and dang or whatever. I don't even know what that saying is, but there's a lot of turmoil in the Republican Party about, you know, what the plans are, and they've spent $25 million. There's two scenarios. There's scenario one where Trump gets 1237. I think is the number that he needs to enter the convention, where he's got the majority of delegates, and theoretically those delegates stay with him and they vote for him in the first round of the convention voting. The other situation is where he doesn't, and so in the first round of voting, nobody gets 50% one. Here is Rance Priebus, who, if there's ever been a guy who's in over his head,
he's on the
Hannity program getting grilled by Sean Hannity. When you know, when you're sweating it with Sean Hannity, you know you got a problem if you're a Republican. Here he is discussing the Trump prospects, And Hannity is saying one thing, and Priebus is saying another. And so this is what this I think this tells the story of what's going to happen within the next, 3 to 4 months, I guess. Hannity is saying if Trump comes in there with 1,100 delegates or 1,226, let's say, or 1,230, he should still get the nomination. And Priebus is saying, yes, except for he won't. Because we won't do it that way. So here is that exchange right now.
Mr. Chairman, I hope you're not in this position, but if there's an effort by the establishment to try and undermine and create a consensus candidate, as John Boehner said, anybody can be nominated on the convention floor, and I want Paul Ryan to get it. If that happens, I would argue that Cruz and Trump supporters will walk out and you won't see them again. I hope that doesn't happen.
If you know what, the first ballot is going to be very important, because on the first ballot is when all the bound delegates vote.
If the number one delegate getter and the
number one, what you're saying,
the number one vote getter doesn't get the nomination, they're going to walk out if there's shenanigans that go on. That's my admonition, and I'm not saying you're responsible.
But it's not about, but Sean, it's not a matter of the number one vote getter. It is, you have to have a majority of delegates to be the nominee. There's nothing nefarious about that. You have to have the majority.
If you take it from somebody that has a huge lead, it will be ugly.
There you have it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like that right there, that little interview, because it's sort of a microcosm of the entire experience of the Republican Party over the last 20 years, as the loudmouths like Sean Hannity have gotten to the point where they have more power than the party officials, like, as Charlie Pierce calls him, obvious anagram, Reince Priebus. He's always been in over his head. He says the most ridiculously silly things, and when he tweets things out about it, it's funny as hell, actually. But he's done, you know, they there's nothing they can do. I mean, I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said 1,000 times now, which is they created this. At some point, somebody was going to take the costume off and just admit that they were racist and admit that they had fascist tendencies and admit that they thought women were still inferior and all these things. They were going to do that and not use the subtle language that the party has been using more increasingly for years and years and years, first about race, but then about many other issues, too. And that's Donald Trump, because he doesn't care about any of this crap, and he's not the kind of guy that's going to, you know, shrink from Sean Hannity.
Right.
I mean, if that's who it is. I mean, he's gotten into fights with Fox News, and he's gotten into, you know, Glenn Beck and all sorts of people that many, you know, running for office on the right would be scared as hell to go to say anything. We remember when people would say something bad about Rush Limbaugh that whole period of time, and then they'd have to go apologize before him, and we'd laugh at them.
Yes.
But that's not Trump. He won't do it, and he doesn't care, and he's got the independent base of money and the life that he wants, that he can get away with that. And frankly, it's not even just that. He's unstable enough, and eventually when you talk like you're unstable people and you talk in a way to appeal to unstable people, they're going to end up actually not just voting for you or voting for whoever, they're going to run for office, which we saw increasingly. I don't know why it's shocking. We started seeing it in Congress, where it wasn't just the backbenchers anymore, but it was guys who were rising up, you know, who had large following. And in the Senate, suddenly there were large numbers of these races where people were proclaiming themselves not to be witches and talking about, you know, shutting that whole thing down about pregnancy and all these crazy ideas. And then eventually it was going to get to the highest level, and it has. Not shocking.
And what's also interesting, I mean, you mentioned her, so let's talk about this. You mentioned not being a witch. Well, the interesting phenomena that's also happening, and because and all this makes sense in the context, if you perceive the conservative movement as just a series of cottage industries where everybody's trying to figure out where they can, make a buck. And that's the way it's been chugging along very comfortably. But the problem is, like, one business in this industry has decided, like, they're going to go for a little bit more money. And that's basically what's happened with everybody who has glommed on to Trump. But now we're starting to see pushback. I mean, this is what's sort of fascinating to me. Christine O'Donnell, who nobody remembers because she basically vanished.
Is she back?
She's back. You just mentioned her. You don't even remember her name. She was just the woman who went on.
No, I remember the witch part. I remember her name.
She was the Senate candidate in Delaware. She was a Tea Party.
She was the one. I mean, to me, that was the most classic. Everybody likes to talk about the Aiken race in Missouri. And that was an important race because somebody was spouting a crazy theory about being raped and therefore not getting pregnant. That is a classic kind of theory that goes around in right-wing circles. That never has to be actually. That never has to actually go through the scientific process. Just gets accepted as reality and repeated.
Right.
So that was important there. But their
test as to whether or not it's true is whether or not it's emailable.
Exactly. Whereas in Delaware, to me, I mean, Mike Castle, who was supposed to get the nomination, was the embodiment of what the Republican, when there was an establishment, used to be. This is a guy who's a direct descendant of Benjamin Franklin. Right, he's a guy who co-sponsored, the stem cell bill that now are referred to as body parts by the right wing people that have taken over. I mean, he was a moderate in every sense, almost maybe a liberal Republican who'd been governor of Delaware, and then was a congressman and was going to run for that Senate seat and should and probably would have won it. Except for Christine O'Connell came along. So I'll let you, or O'Donnell came along. So I'll let you continue from there.
Right,
I just always think it's important to remember that point of who it is she beat. She beat, it was in a way that was a changing of the guard because she beat the person who that party should have been behind in every way.
So she, I don't know how she got to CNN. I mean, apparently it was just like, hey, who's left? And somebody said, do you think we could get O'Donnell? Or my guess is, because this is what she said, is that she saw Donald Trump as an opportunity. And the opportunity is not to support him. She said, I have no desire to get into the fray. But now it looks like he's going to be the nominee. Speaking of Trump, I can't sit back anymore. I can't hold my tongue. Now, not only does she supposedly have no desire to get in the fray, I don't think there's anybody who has any desire for her to get into the fray. Yet, she sees, well, no, I mean, they'll take her, of course. Why wouldn't you? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
In the same way that we're going to play a clip from her, because this is hilarious.
It's a car wreck, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to see more of this, where people are going to try and rehabilitate themselves by going against Trump. And Ted Cruz, I'm the sane choice. What? Lindsey Graham, who said, you could shoot this guy in the Senate, in front of the Senate, and you'd find no witnesses, is now his champion. Here is Christine O'Donnell explaining in the CNN newsroom with Brooke Baldwin, saying that, well, you know, Christine O'Donnell stuff.
What don't you like about him?
Well, first of all, I get the reason why people are flocking to him. The average middle-class American, especially the white male or the immigrant who's come here legally and had to work hard and pave their own way.
Like the father we just
exactly,
spoke with.
Exactly, exactly.
Republican women.
Exactly. They have been told to sit down and shut up, to take a backseat to political correctness, and every time they get pushed aside to make room for what is politically correct, and they see our leaders ignore them.
Pause it. You see, did you catch that, Cliff? To make room for what's politically correct. What does that mean? Like, do people actually have to make room? It's just like, once somebody says something that's politically correct, it goes by. It sounds like there's actually something that's taking up mass that she calls politically correct.
Aside.
And it's pushing other people. I wonder what that thing that takes up mass is. I have a feeling it's people. Go ahead.
Anger is bubbling and it's finally erupted. But here's the thing about Donald Trump. He didn't lead them. He's like that French leader who said, find out where my people are going so I can lead them there. He's actually following something that has already happened. He did nothing to liberate the middle class from political correctness until he decided to run for president. And then it's only giving voice. He's not actually doing anything except inciting riots and, well, let me tell you, loosely I say that because I don't blame him for the violence. But at the same time, as a candidate, your words will have consequences. Your words will inspire certain behavior. And he's a calculated man. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yes, that is. And if people are curious,
he's definitely a calculated man. You can add him up.
Oh yeah, if people are curious, what would Sarah Palin sound like
exactly
if she didn't have that sort of Western accent? I think you have your example there. But you know, now that the middle class has been liberated from PC, Cliff, and Trump just like jumps in front of, I guess the. What would be like? He's sort of like the fake Harriet Tubman of the liberated middle class from the shackles of PC.
Right.
This is
it's just been tough.
This is just insanity layered on top of insanity.
Right. I mean, you know, you can't just throw out the N-word anymore. And for white middle class people, that has been a heck of a thing to give into. You know, it's all white resentment stuff, and it's all it's stupid. She can't even do it well, quite frankly. Ted Cruz is much better at it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. I mean, in the end, and we've talked about this before, I feel like I say that a lot, Rick Perlstein, as I've said before, has written some great stuff on this, as have others. The right is just, at this point, an elaborate con. The person who sends you the thing telling you, give me your information because there's $1 million in a Nigerian bank account for you, or that, you know, if you pass on messages, you'll make money from Microsoft or whatever. Any goofy email you get or Armageddon or, you know, all the kinds of things, that's the equivalent of these guys, and they've crossed over to that. You can almost see the direct connection when we've talked about someone like Mike Huckabee sending out the biblical cure to cancer to the Newsmax email list.
I mean, that works.
So, I'm sorry?
That works, and use the coupon code MAJORITY to get 10% off.
There you go. I mean, they're all just, you know, that's where it's just, basically they've attracted the lowest common denominator, the most spiteful, angry people they can, but also, sadly, the most ignorant people that they can, and let's just say not all that intelligent. And those are the people that con artists prey on again and again and again, and that's what the right has devolved into. It's certainly not a conservative movement. Conservative movements, as we could talk about forever, are about, you know, the word conserve is in there. It's about respecting and upholding tradition. It's about, you know, saying that our institutions have always worked, so any kind of radical change should happen in a very slow way. It's kind of like saying, you know, it would be like, hey, that Obamacare thing, you're not just getting rid of the insurance industry. We're slowly moving in a direction of insuring more people, but doing it through our institutions that, in our opinion, have worked. That's why that was a Republican plan initially, right, when the Republicans were a conservative party still, or at least largely a conservative party in the 90s. But this is now, at this point, a revolutionary party that doesn't respect traditions and doesn't respect comedy, doesn't respect the fact that we, no one's ever said we're just not going to even talk about a Supreme Court justice or talk to them for a year and vote on them. These are things that weren't done. And if you are conservative in the honest sense of that, you know, that's what you would be. You would do that because that's what a conservative. So, I mean, so once you open up that door to every carnival barker and every sort of, you know, pathological liar, and just anybody who can come in and find what their angle is to make money. You know, I'm going to start a group where we hate gay people, and I'm going to go to all these bigoted people, and I'm going to send them emails and tell them I will help stop gay people, and then I can raise money. And I mean, how many people get busted for scams like this, right? I mean, it's a constant. So that's what they've got left. And you know, Donald Trump is running the crazy train.
That's right. And if anybody needs any sort of like a shorthand proof of that this is all about snake oil, I give you Ben Carson. And you know, I mean, just as like a, you know, just like a quick link reference, right? I just click on Ben Carson and I see, oh yeah, this is a huge scam. You
know, I didn't support him, but then he said he'd give me a position, so now I support him.
Right.
Like, it's awesome.
It's the politics of personal destruction, which I abhor.
Did you see what he said about child molester thing?
Yeah, it worked.
It worked, so he must have been saying some good stuff there.
You gotta give credit where credit's due, Cliff. Want to make some cash money with me?
Absolutely,
Cliffy. We didn't have time to get to Garland, but I'm probably gonna talk to some court watchers next week about Garland and how that plays into the politics. But
and it'll be going on probably for a long time.
Yeah.
If we want to talk about Garland, I have a feeling we'll have plenty of time to talk about Garland.
Yeah, indeed. Cliff Schechter, always a pleasure, buddy. Thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, as always, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this is what we're going to do now. We have a special treat today. Matthew Film Guy is not going to be some disembodied voice floating in the ether, just reaching down to us and talking to us. But Matthew Film Guy is actually going to be right here. No, right here, sitting next to me. And in just a moment. But before we get to Matthew Film Guy, as a way of making our transition, we should probably play the Jimmy Reefer Cake song that we have. I think we also have an extra splitter over there for a headset. If somebody wants to listen over there, we certainly have one here for Matthew. And during Jimmy Reefer Cake's song, what is Jimmy Reefer Cake's song, Matt?
Just laugh.
Just laugh.
That's how we're supposed to react to Trump.
Ah, dude, you just, spoiler alert. Spoiler
you got no
alert.
Artistic sensibility, Matt.
Spoiler alert.
You said that in a tone like you wanted more information.
I was absorbing it. I was trying to think. I
mean, Sam, that was part here of is the comedic premise of the song.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to take a quick, we're going to listen to the Jimmy Reefer Cake song as Matthew Film Guy makes his way into the Majority Report set. Now, of course, you can go, what is it? Is it SammyCamLive.com that will take you to? Maybe we should have a direct link to, that would be smart. Come on over and, you know, watch us on YouTube. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Matthew probably has multiple things that he has on his eBay channel or eBay store, and is probably going to sell this. It's like all, like every time he shows up, it's like a mini QVC here. As he is wont to do. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Here's Jimmy Reefer Cake's Just Laugh.
What's the appropriate reaction to the rise of Donald Trump today? Should I be angry or sad, or should I just laugh it all away? And Bernie Sanders with all those great ideas for tomorrow. If Hillary wins with her mind control, will I drown myself in sorrow? I'll drink pitchers of beer and stuff my face at the local pizzeria. I'll get so worked up about the Clinton machine that it'll give me diarrhea. I'll get so depressed about Donald Trump and his racist rants. I'll get in a fight with some meatheads and probably piss my pants. Diarrhea and pissing my pants, that's what the future holds. Crying and cussing and bitching as the end of the world unfolds. But these negative thoughts are filling my mind, and there's only so much space. So on second thought, I'll just laugh it off and keep a smile on my face.
Oh my gosh. I loved it.
You did a great job.
I thought that was great. That's great. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, for those of you who have not joined us this week or don't have access to the fun half of the show, some of that may not sound familiar to you, but yesterday we had some wonderful compliments on the show. I tweeted this out. Not only was I told by a doctor, the former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today, I believe it was, that I had genius questions, but then in the fun half of the program, I was told that the interview was so great, it caused instant diarrhea in a woman who was a farmer in her mid-50s. She was going out to actually sow some seeds and ended up messing up her pants. And so Jimmy's song, certainly it recapped the week. Between the pissing in the pants and the pooping in the pants, it felt like I was at home, really, because that's basically what dominates my time now. Now, ladies and gentlemen, joining us in studio is the namesake of, is really the inspiration. It's the muse of this theme song.
Matthew the Film Guy is choosing your streams. Cassavetes.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Matthew, film guy, in the house.
Hi.
Now, I have to say, when Matthew came in and I made that little comment about the QVC thing, I was joking, ladies and gentlemen.
No, you weren't.
But apparently I was not joking.
You were not joking.
I was being clairvoyant. Clairvoyant? Is that the right word?
Yeah, you were.
Matthew has entered in. He has his bag of.
Some people have requested that.
That's not
some
even
of
Majority
my,
Report branding.
No, but it will be. It will be because what
they are you going to do? You going to put a sticker on it?
No, because people have asked that you sign them, and so gold or silver, depending if you want to go Trump or not.
Well, I think we're going to have to go Trump on this. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Although silver probably would go better on this.
Hey, it's your call. We also have this is a nice box. I don't know if you can see this on. At home, this is a nice.
Let's take
box.
A look at this. I mean, just while you're here, it is a it's a wooden box that is got sort of lily pads painted on it.
Yeah, it's seen black. Better days. Granted,
seen better days, and there's a wooden frog on the top of it. And I guess you would put like little tchotchkes inside here, maybe
cotton balls on your makeup table.
Yeah, or
it
looks like God knows.
You
what's
can put your weed
in
it. Yeah,
I was going to say. Also, it looks like maybe like mashed up pills had been in there. Or something.
Yeah, it's sort of a mortar and pestle kind of analog.
But, wait, and you realize like it's not even glued.
Yeah, it's
down.
Coming apart a little bit. It's all in the listing. It's all totally being.
Why don't you
revealed.
Just bother to glue that down?
You know, I don't want to mess with its sort of natural state. Your signing it will be the best gluing down it'll ever get.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How did this come to be in your possession? I mean, I can understand why you're selling it. I'm just curious as to how it is that you own this.
Like most of the things I put on eBay, my mother just offloaded it to me. And just said, here, do you want this? Can you put it on eBay?
Have a frog.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, so your mom said, here, go sell this.
Yeah. Now she does that. She knows that I'm like a pipeline. You know, I told you, she was really into Harley Davidson for a long time. So then she got out of it. But she had all these Harley Davidson T-shirts and purses and clothes. And that became like a major source of income for a while.
So when your mom gives you this to sell, like there's transport involved. Like she doesn't live around here, does she?
No, she lives in Florida.
Okay, so she ships this to you? Is that it? Or she?
Yeah, or no, sometimes she drives up here. So
okay, so your mom drives up, what is it, like 2,000 miles?
Yeah, something like that.
To give you this box, how much does she think that you're going to be able to fetch for this box on eBay?
I mean, whatever the market is willing to bear, Sam, that's capitalism.
No, I understand that. I'm curious if she has a projection. Because I look at this and I think, like, I guess if I really needed a box and I was a huge fan of frogs,
exactly,
I'd pay $2.50 for this.
I think the starting bid is $3.99, but
didn't
I expect
it probably
that to
cost more to even like just drive it up? Like, wasn't like this amount of weight, wasn't that adding to the gas cost?
But Sam, this is, to me, eBay is not just a cheap source of income, although it is also that. It is also, to me, a way to sort of, like, you know, the story
meet
of
friends.
Stuff. Meet friends, yeah. But the story of stuff, like, I like the fact that I don't just throw this stuff out, that it finds a home somewhere, somehow.
Okay.
So even if it sort of is a net negative in terms of carbon footprint, it allows something that would otherwise go in the dump to give someone some modicum of pleasure.
But
I know it still exists out
this
there.
This is wood. You could just burn it.
Yeah, maybe I could, but why don't you go ahead and.
All right, I'm going to sign this.
If you don't like that.
I'm going to write, which how
just,
about
just,
with love? I'm going to write with love, Sam Cedar.
Fantastic.
And I'm going to add, why did you buy this?
I think that is highly appropriate.
Yeah. Why did you buy this? So they'll be able to look at that every time they go, why did you buy that?
And that's fantastic, Sam. Good.
It's good because, you know, that type of questioning, always questioning yourself is important.
Yeah, that's right. It's sort of a philosophical
what else,
box.
What else do you have?
Okay,
I had no idea, honestly, this would turn into this. But this is actually.
This is
I'm starting to smell spinoff. Right?
I mean, this actually I got from my late grandfather's
house. Well, describe
house.
It because
it
a lot of people are listening to
us. I'm setting up the provenance first. And then this actually is a authentic
this
airplane
is like,
trading.
What is that show on PBS? Like the
Antiques
Road Show.
This
yeah.
is like old
this
crap.
This is just like
road
crap.
Show.
Yeah, crap. Crap show.
Garbage.
Yeah. Crap show.
Yeah.
Is, I think, fair.
So this was, if you remember back in the day when they'd give you playing cards in the airplane. This is like a trading playing card box to hold those cards. The cards are not in it. but it is from the American Export. It's Branson Lines Incorporated. Actually, I think this was from a ship. So nobody seemed to want it.
Look at
but
that.
If you were to sign it,
American Export is Branson. Well, because, you know, I got to say, this at least I can see the sort of the practical value. People always, they have their packs of cards sitting in the everything
drawer.
That's
right, just not organized.
I bought two packs of cards. Where are they? I can only find one. But now, if you find one, you'll have the second one here
precisely,
with you.
Precisely, precisely.
Two decks of cards. Of course, you can't.
There you go.
Quite convinced if I turn this over and I had the weight
of
the
card. Yeah, well, careful.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. I'm going to write it on the bottom, so it's
okay.
Not.
Okay, all right. That's very thoughtful.
How about this? Everything.
Pretty much everything I brought, you could put your weed
is
in.
Yeah, exactly. This is a weed holder. Everything is coming up aces. How's that? Right?
Yeah. Appropriate.
There we go.
Clever.
I like this silver pen.
Yeah,
it really
isn't
does
that
make
nice?
It seem like I'm officially
yeah.
signing something.
Now you know why Trump does it all in
yeah,
gold.
Everything's
okay.
coming up aces.
So
that's
now,
for your...
now this one's something a little bit more.
I should maybe I should have put "Don't be a joker." P.S. Don't be
oh, yeah.
a joker.
There you go.
I get,
wow,
I can do
this
it.
One's getting.
Yeah, this has got two
yeah.
really classic Sam Cedar jokes.
This is really value added, folks.
Yeah,
at home.
Oh yeah. Don't be a joker.
You can find my eBay sales at my Twitter handle, Langdon Boom.
Just in case people didn't know,
and
that
it's
was
in my,
a joke.
It's okay. in my.
All right. Oh, I see. You've got a really piece of crap.
Yep.
What appears to be a Radio Shack microphone
exactly.
that has the dual mini plugs.
There you are.
They're not the same size, but this is the way that it's controlled on a cassette deck. That you would have had to have purchased, I would imagine.
Oh yeah,
probably 25 years ago.
A good roundabout estimate of that. Yeah.
Now let me ask you, what is the cross section between the people who have a 25-year-old cassette recorder, but don't have one of these piece of crap Radio Shack mics from that same era?
I tell you, it is definitely a very small market that we're aiming at with this,
right.
but I have a feeling that there is somebody out there
well,
for whom this mic will complete their...
Let me answer that question, because that person doesn't have one that has a small MR
yes.
logo
exactly.
on it.
Exactly.
And that says on the side, hold this, hold this, and you are just like me.
Exactly, Sam. See, you're making a lot of people's day right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah.
You could, there's a really big market for that in Bushwick, in my neighborhood. People
oh, yeah?
25-year-old
yeah,
cassette recorders, and they need that type of thing. But
you know, we
also,
should talk.
It's the first thing that you can't put your weed in.
That's right.
So
maybe you
I'm
can
not
hide
sure.
it by
could
oh,
it
oh, yeah.
You
took there
the
you...
batteries out.
Actually,
of course, that would actually
you...
be a great
there's
weed.
No batteries.
Not only could you
oh,
put
no
your
battery.
Weed in it, I think you could probably figure out a way of smoking a weed through this.
You are
yeah.
so...
Right? Right
that's an awesome point, man.
That's clearly
that just
true.
Turned
you
into
could find a way to
the
make
most
this
valuable
into
item we've seen yet.
I don't know, chill them.
Nice little,
okay.
You could stick your vaporizer
shock
in there chill. Or whatever
there you
it
go.
Is. That people...
Okay, now this,
oh my
this
God. Oh my
is
God.
Extremely we gonna,
I mean,
valuable.
I think we're not going to probably go through all this stuff, I got to tell you.
Oh, Sam.
Well, I'm not going to sign that.
No, okay.
That would ruin the value
all
of
all right, nobody wanted it, though. This is
are
a,
you serious?
This is an 8mm film
wow.
that my grandmother bought of, they used to sell these through Time Life magazine. It's like
really?
A whole
no,
movie.
Give it to Matt.
Did you
give
convert?
It to
did you convert it?
Well, you
it?
Could bid like anybody. You know?
Did you convert
you
it?
Yeah, it's actually there's someone already posted it on YouTube. So the film
yeah.
exists.
Matt doesn't.
So it's
it.
Just an artifact. So if I thought someone would love to own,
you should give Lack an inside track on
a
that
signed copy of
that
it
is
by
so
Sam
Matt.
Cedar.
Wow, that
who
is...
also could do the accent of JFK. So it's sort of I thought there's
man
a connection
and
there.
President.
There you go.
There you go. That's
all right.
Not
well, we
quite
can just whip through the rest of
you
these.
Can
JFK, color movies.
A USB cord. Somebody wants a USB cord, I'm sure. Signed by Sam Cedar.
Whoa. Slow down. This is a USB
unopened.
Mini
yeah.
USB cord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some ATA cables for connecting your hard drive. Nobody wanted them. Signed by Sam Cedar. Worth twice the value, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. Maybe we should do some of this afterwards.
Yeah. I'm
quite
just going to list them. You can sign them.
The cables as I was by
okay,
the,
now this,
the box with the frog on it.
This is something I was just going to give to you if you wanted it.
Oh,
because
box.
I know you're a huge fan.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Of the film.
That is exciting. Modern
nobody
romance.
It. It's the all the ad copy that they used to have to cut out and paste for newspapers and things like that.
Oh, wow.
And you turned me on to Albert Brooks.
Yeah, no, I love this, but I don't want that.
Okay,
no,
so go ahead.
I bring that.
That's exactly how I feel
I
about
like
it.
I like that movie. That's great. But
so go ahead and sign it. Who wouldn't want a modern romance ad copy signed by Sam Cedar, who wishes he had the same career as
Albert Brooks? I don't remember what the year was, but it was like 1997, I think it was, where when the New Yorker magazine used to do its next issue. Uh-huh. You remember this story?
Yeah.
I was slated to be the next Albert Brooks,
yep.
And they assigned John Lahr to write the piece, and we did not get along. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, yeah, I didn't get along with the guy, but what are they going to do? Say this guy sucks, but he's going to be the next. And that's what the piece he wrote, that this guy sucks. And ended up, yeah.
So. Turns out Albert was the last Albert Brooks.
Yeah, it turns out I could have been the next Albert Brooks, but that didn't.
Hey, but I don't see him hosting his own podcast daily.
Why don't you hang that up in the office?
Well, I didn't realize. Yeah, maybe I will, actually. It's got a bunch of different
articles. He wrote all these articles. They're funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I thought that was just.
But it's like ads that they push, you know, like you could run this as an article.
You know who I feel like I got? There's a couple of people, actually, I feel like I could give this to as a gift, and they would love it.
Okay. Well, that's how I feel about it, too.
I appreciate you coming down and bringing all your junk. Do you want to? Wow, look at that. Two pieces of silverware.
You've got tarnished these actual silverware.
This is actual silverware. So this actually has some
melting value.
Some value. I mean,
any junkies out there want to
M.A. Rogers Hotel plate.
Yeah.
I don't, you know what? I'm not convinced that this is actual silver. Are you sure?
Yeah, bite it.
Onita, did you look this up?
Yeah, there's other ones on eBay.
How much are they
condition.
Worth? How much are they worth?
Clearly not $1.29, which is what I've asked for them, and no takers.
People make rings out of them.
Well, maybe some of our libertarian friends will like to. These.
Yeah, invest in silver.
Well, they could have their own. I'm sure a lot of people out there have their own smelters. And
that's true.
They
knife
could
smelters.
Put this into a coin, and when the apocalypse comes and everybody's accepting silver, because why wouldn't you?
Exactly. Everyone knows the inherent value of metal.
Precious metals, when what you really want is water, of course, because we all know that. I mean, I think in Planet of the Apes, didn't they accept silver and gold too?
So water, I have silver.
Right.
Let us barter.
Yes, exactly.
It won't be metal. It will be jetpacks and other machines.
If you'll just let me talk.
Yeah. Can I just finish
silver
my point?
Silver jetpacks. Well,
I have a film recommendation for 25 to 35 minutes.
Have you ever seen any Israeli films?
Okay, so wait a second.
They're based in Jordan.
Now,
they're nicer.
I don't remember any Palestinian films being good.
Now, Matthew. Film guy.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you what you've been up to, but I think we have a very good sense of what you've been up to. Just going around collecting garbage.
Yeah.
Now, do you...
It finds me. I don't really scope it
now,
out.
Now, dude, are you... You know, you must look around this office.
Oh, yeah.
And you must see just... This is... Yeah. I mean, if this is your hobby, too, I mean, God, this is going to be...
Yeah.
This is going to be a cavalcade.
It's sort of like an obsessive compulsive disorder. Where it's like I'm organizing stuff out of one person's house into another person's house. You know, it's like through the mail, I am putting things away.
This seems like a spinoff from Hoarders.
Yeah, it's a way. I definitely agree
that
it's a kind of hoarding.
Is there a name for what you're doing?
No, but we should coin it. Maybe it's, you know, Matthew E-bayers? Weiss disease.
No,
I don't know.
No, it's not. What is it? What is the word here? The arbitragers, or what?
I don't know.
You know, it's
yeah.
not arbitrage.
eBay
is it? It's
sickness.
Like, chapter 2.
Yeah.
Or something. Or these, I don't know. This could be like chapter. Oh, these.
0.5.
Yeah, God knows what has happened in the life of these.
Yeah, I can't even tell you where those came from.
I'm not even sure I wanted to touch that.
Yeah, you may have cancer now. There may be mercury on these. I don't know.
It's not even that. It's just, I mean, do you clean this stuff at all?
I think these, yes, I've tried to clean these.
Did
mean,
you clean
you'd have
this?
To, you'd have to polish them. Did yeah. You, definitely.
This is what this looks like cleaned?
Yeah. There's,
I don't think people want to buy that.
Well, they will when you sign it. That's the whole point. Your signature erases all, it's like being blessed.
Mm.
You know, it erases all traces of evil. anything that's unsanitary. No, they've all been cleaned, folks. Don't worry. There's no diseases being brought into your home. You can look at my 750-plus positive feedbacks to attest to that fact. Nobody has ever died from one of my auctions or been
That's
ill.
Right. Now, what is your your rating? Isn't there a percentage that's associated?
I have like a purple star because I've done like 765 positive transactions.
Wow. Yeah. Now, let me ask this of you. Yeah. Do you what is your percentage rating though?
I have 100% positive rating.
What, you have 100%?
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%.
I've Seriously? Never yeah. Like literally 100.
I can't tell you the last time I got a negative response was like a decade ago.
Everybody writes ratings after the transactions and they loved it.
Yeah, they loved it.
I don't even know why they did
you.
It. They wrote it, but they just I guess they were so happy.
Take my word for it. I have a 100% positive rating. That I can tell you.
Wow. Wow.
He does a tremendous job.
I do a tremendous job.
All right. Well,
believe me, there's no problem there.
There's actually a couple of IMs that you've gotten. I'm going to look at Data Review says, just bought the frog box on eBay.
Yeah, that was a buy it now. So good job. Good job, buddy.
Wait, for how much? For how much?
It's like $4, I think, right?
I don't know. Wait a second. I'm going to cross out my signature now. I didn't realize this was... I don't do buy it now products.
Well, it's been buy it now for so long.
Yeah,
I
don't sign buy it now products. I'm sorry. Well, do auction only.
All right, listen, I'll give 100%...
Highest bidder.
100% of the proceeds of that one will go to you. I'll give you the $4.
No, that's not the point.
No?
It's about...
Don't pretend like you don't want the $4, Sam.
No, well, I do want the $4, but the point is maintaining the value of my brand.
I see.
If I start doing buy it now stuff that's signed, are you kidding me?
Total agreement.
You're right. Maybe I can just negotiate with that instant buyer, and we'll see what we can work out. But hey,
it's probably a member. What
that's ridiculous. That's like the Bill Travers in the Green Helmet. When the men who love speed and the girls who love them, that's what that's
or
like.
No, it has to be.
Who
a
am
member.
I? Bill Travers from.
That's like the
from
14.
A Metro Golden Meyer. Oh,
that's like the
Green
14
helmet?
In Beverly Hills
ba,
Cop
ba, ba,
3.
Ba, ba.
Went ba 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 ba. And then Eddie talked to this girl who was later cut in the final release.
You see,
I'm laying
Matthew into the.
No, we heard it.
He's watching the.
I'm sorry. Are we still on? I'm looking at my auctions.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Just calm down on the auctions for a minute.
I'm just making sure everything else has got an auction going up with it.
Who? Oh, just bought the $12. Better leave the signature.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
So it wasn't $4.
I forgot.
Well, all right.
I do other things besides eBay, so sometimes little details may escape me.
Okay.
I've been working very hard as an editor, as you know, Sam. I'm also teaching editing at Sacred Heart University. Wow. And
doing your Learning Annex class.
And doing my JCC Senior Citizens film class. That's
now,
right.
Now, let me ask you this. When you're in front of those JCC seniors, do you ever talk politics? Like, I'm curious as to how...
Yeah.
The JCC seniors are reacting to what's going on right now.
Oh, well, they're almost all, liberal Jews. So they basically
boring,
agree with most.
Right.
I mean, it gets the most heated when I try to introduce some sort of Middle East discussion, Israel, mm-hmm. Palestine, that kind of thing. That's when it gets that. But there's crosstalk. It's not monolithic. So we always have some good debates. I've had people walk out based on certain opinions about Israel, like... We actually showed some Israeli films, and they were sort of somewhat sympathetic to Palestinians, and they were like, this is garbage. This is propaganda. I'm getting out of here. And I said, okay, see you later.
Well, there
I don't get paid enough to really wrestle with you, buddy.
Right. There you go.
I hope you choke on a gefilte fish.
Do you have like
my sight.
Do you try and upsell them to where you will fight them? Like, for instance,
they
pay
yeah.
for the Learning Annex, and then you say for an extra $25
right.
tonight, everybody kicks in,
exactly.
and I will argue about...
Yeah, it's like Monty Python. I'm like, I'm sorry, that's been 5 minutes just now.
Lefties have rights too. Just bought the Kennedy film. Thanks, Sam. Value added to the max.
And he didn't even sign it.
I haven't signed it.
He didn't even sign it.
I can sign it.
Don't bother. Don't bother.
Well, I mean, I can sign it on the inside. I don't think I should sign it on the outside.
You would think, but these are fairly plentiful. People bought these a lot in the day.
So they're all over the place.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they're cool to you and me because we never heard of them or saw them before. And my grandmother had it in a box for many years. But they were fairly popular. There was like the Time Life home movies of the day, home video.
So in other words, if Lefty Have Rights Too wants one that is not marred by my signature.
Yeah. We could leave it to him maybe, you know.
Yeah, all right. Well, or her. We don't know.
Or her, yeah.
All right. So Matthew, what else have you been up to that could be of interest to people that is not necessarily something that you could directly with a 1-to-1 ratio profit from?
God, I have to think. I really have to not profit from it.
Now,
any
I mean,
way.
Like now, I understand why you're like, you want me in the studio, and I'm like, well, sure, if it's not
well,
a problem.
You
you're like,
me.
No, I'm in
me.
Studio.
I was invited, wasn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, there you go. Well, now, yeah, no, you were. I mean, you have an open invitation.
Yeah,
I just the level yeah. of excitement. I now understand what this was about.
Right,
and it's really not even. I don't even think it's about the cash.
No,
I think this is really just like this is the way. This is like a. This is really like a psychological disorder for you now, isn't it? And this is the way, this is like you, like, this is, you're like a cutter in some way.
That's right.
Right? But the way it's playing out is like,
I avoid feeling my feelings by selling things on eBay.
I guess a cutting was always a net liquid asset positive. I don't get this.
I mean, no, but this is like.
He knows exactly what he's doing. Let's dispel the notion.
This is, they say.
There's something to it.
The reason why. People get addicted to their phones is because a small sort of dopamine rush
exactly.
when you check it and there's a message or
that's
you hear
exactly
that bing
right.
and there's a message to you. It's like I've scored something and that's what's going on here.
Yeah,
it's quite apparent to me. I didn't realize we were
totally what's happening.
Enabling this. I mean, like literally, you're turning like you're getting a little flush.
Come on, Sam, I need
like,
it.
As soon as we
I
said,
need it,
like,
Sam, help me. Come on,
someone
man.
Someone said
Let
they
me come
bought
on the, show.
The Kennedy thing.
Let me
you
come
were
on
just
the show,
like.
Sam. Yeah. Ooh, I got watchers. I got watchers.
Oh, okay. You know, this is just breaking. Hold on 1 second.
This is not everything I have either.
This is for people who were listening yesterday. We're hearing from that the caller yesterday from Georgia. Just to let you know, I made it to the bathroom yesterday. I did not soil my pants. Just wanted to clear the air about my tummy troubles from yesterday. P.S. Damn wanted the frog box for my pot cookies. I missed out. Story of my life. Man,
sorry.
I'll tell you something. That
jeez Louise.
I don't think you'd want to put your cookies in there.
Mission accomplished.
This is not beanbag.
So, all right. So what's going on? Now, just put your eBay down
sure.
for
no,
a moment.
Oh, yeah. On the show. Matthew God's, Film Guy. On the show.
Right. Right, focus now.
Yeah, so I showed a really good film that I'd like to recommend to my seniors who, to a person, they hated it. But you know what? It was one of the best.
Well, if every single one of
it
them
was
hated
horrible.
It, I think that's definitely
yeah.
just terrible film.
Well, you know, it's not true because here's the response I get from my class mostly. We don't always like the films, but the discussion is always so fascinating and so interesting. You know, it's really for you that we come. The film's garbage, but you...
Really?
I mean, I get that a lot. I get that a lot. And I have a regular group who keep re-signing up. You know, they have to pay every, like, 6 classes.
Sort of like a gigolo.
Does it marry you as well?
I feel disgusting inside, but somehow I keep coming.
Right.
But, yeah, so...
And then do you have, like, office hours?
No. I am out of there right at boom,
whatever,
3
whatever,
o'clock.
Whatever
leave.
You say. Right.
They want to leave. You
okay.
know, they want to talk, but right. I leave.
Don't you engage in like business development with some
I
of
don't
your,
think that I understand the material, Professor. Could we
why
have
don't you
a
come
meeting?
Sit over here and discuss it?
I need to be educated on why the man in the third act had a fainting condition.
I have some mise-en-scene
like,
questions that I feel like only you could answer.
Fellini so Meshuggah, could we talk?
Yeah. I mean, I'm like the grandson these people never had in a lot of ways, so I get a lot of that kind of love
right.
attention.
No,
but
I understand.
It never
that.
Crosses
I can
the line.
He's so nice. Do you now? How many times? How long did it take them for you to say no? I'm engaged.
Yeah.
When they stopped,
right.
like, would try and fix you up with their grandkids.
Right. Well, I brought Mary to the class several times to establish my unavailability, and I think that
Now, Mary, did you get a lot of these like? Mary, that's an interesting first name.
Yeah.
Mary. Okay, so your name's Mary. Okay.
Mary. Okay.
Okay.
Mary. Is that spelled with a Y or an I?
It's not Miriam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, no, to their credit, they've been completely and totally non like my own mother.
No, it's very modern.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But at least you found somebody. That's really right. At least you found somebody.
That's all right.
My son married a Japanese woman. I mean, at this point. Appreciate what you can get.
Precisely, precisely.
The Japanese are a very cult people. Mary, very, very good at business, but very cult.
You know, Sam, I don't know if I told you this. Mary's Italian Catholic, and my mother's exact quotes were, close enough.
Right. There you go. There you go.
So, but they do try to engage me in a higher level talk, but it's just like any class. You get like the people who always hate the movies, the people who always want to show how smart they are and make some comment, mm-hmm. people who everyone hates because they talk too long. You know, it's like it's very...
It's like the show.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. There's one of you in every class.
Right.
And in this particular film that I've brought to your attention today is... I'm gesturing over at you.
I was saying you were pointing to my computer. And
no,
I
think
sure
of you
what
as the computer.
I understand.
But it was a film that I think is actually one of the coolest kind of attempts to make like an artistic, intellectual sort of genre movie
mm-hmm.
that I don't know, maybe some of you heard of it or saw it, but it's sort of like a...
Now, tell people what you mean by genre movie, because I'm not sure people fully...
You know, a genre movie is like a Western or a sci-fi film or a gangster film or mm-hmm. something that's has all the trappings of a very certain kind of... grade of film.
It's generally two-dimensional and it's the same story.
Yeah, and it's always very kind of cheap thrills, and you kind of always get what you expect from it. The, you know, the bad guy always loses, and it has the same kind of visceral enjoyments that you get. And this was like about an alien invasion movie, so it was sort of like a B-movie plot from like a Twilight Zone episode done by a director who's sort of in the mode of like Antonioni or some kind of a much more ethereal sort of ambient filmmaking. And it was called Under the Skin.
Under the Skin.
And it was...
Look at Matt, of course.
Scarlett
I knew
Johansson.
Matt would be
Did
like...
Did you see it? Yeah. You can attest to that it's like...
Oh, this is a recent film.
Oh, this is really recent.
Yep, 2013. And I was really impressed by it because not just because Scarlett Johansson is in various modes of undress throughout the film, but it actually draws you in into a kind of a weird...
You're better than that, Matt.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to... Full disclosure, Mary thinks that's why I liked it so much. But it actually is like she plays what you... kind of understand is like an alien presence going around preying on men. And the filmmaker actually used hidden cameras for the parts where she's driving around and picking up real men on the street to talk to. And she winds up sort of seducing them and bringing them into this weird, it's hard to explain, sort of like space.
Was there real men who got in and said, holy shit, you're Scarlett Johansson. What the hell is going on here?
The film... No, they never recognized her. People never recognized
her. Or they cut out.
Well, yes, obviously. Right. But as you know, doing sort of a
Didn't anybody go like, why are you picking me up? Like,
yeah. It's
Wait,
it's
why
a
did
credit.
You do why are you picking me up? It's like the
What is this?
Like reverse taxi driver.
Scarlett Johansson.
So what?
It's like Travis Bickle got home and took the wrong cab. Do you remember the scene in...
It's like
King
if
of Comedy
drove the cab.
When Travis Bickle and he gets out of the car, the guy who gets into it,
his friend that he was just talking to on the payphone.
The fixed cameras make it seem a lot like it's a lunar rover or something like that. And it is just it puts
and the
you
men
in
like
very
melt
respect.
Into the. It's like so at first you're kind of like she's this sort of. Alluring sexual presence, and these men are like, I'm gonna get one over on her. And then she, like, I don't know, she like absorbs them into this weird alien. It's like she's doing experiments on
you
them.
You don't really need to watch the
been
movie
there.
After
this been
description.
There. I've been
it,
there.
It actually
so many times,
doesn't man. Tell you much about the movie because it's so abstract and so eerie and so weird. It's a very sort of you have to experience it to get it. There's not
thought,
a lot of plot.
I thought it was
feel,
one
I get
of the
feeling
worst
that,
movies I've ever seen.
See,
you saw it and you thought it was
yeah.
one
does
one
she
one.
Feel any conscience
top,
or
top
is
five.
She just
you know
like,
worst movies.
And you,
know what
you and all
like
the senior citizens in my class are like this.
I no, agree
I mean,
with this shiksa
was,
girl
was
100%.
Like a film minor sort of almost. I decided on history because it was like easier for my schedule or something. But no, so I've seen a lot of abstract whatever. I hated that movie.
Yeah, I totally understand.
Sort of
and
sounds
I'm
to me
down with
sounds
some of
to
that
me like maybe the frog box was full before the movie, and by the time the movie's empty, the frog box is empty, and because Kelly doesn't engage in such activities, maybe that's why you didn't enjoy
the
movie.
I might want to rewatch it with a frog box and see if what I think of it. But no, I just had cookies and cake.
But my question was: is she just like a pure kind of like otherworldly predator, or does she have like a conscience in that role?
Well, that is sort of what develops. She starts off abstract and sort of distant, but then she kind of, you know, it's very much like an episode of Twilight Zone where it's like the alien becomes too human, and that's what screws it up.
Great. Well, now I guess I don't have to see it.
No, I'm telling you, all the things you can say about it do not.
It's the process, not the destination, Philistine.
It's experiential. It's not intellectual.
I see. Oh, well,
you should definitely watch
it.
Possibly
that.
Not with Myla and Saul, but possibly with Nikki.
Why not? Why not with Myla?
It's sexually explicit. I don't know if she's ready for that kind of thing.
All right. Yeah, probably.
You know,
probably she's heading
into
the dating years.
Is that sexually explicit, or is it just nudity?
Would you
it's
think
just nudity.
Myla should watch it? I don't know. Maybe you'd be a better judge.
I don't know. I probably
I think
shouldn't
she would
say
be
this,
like, this is boring.
Boring, yeah. She'd be bored.
More so than...
It's boring.
She'd be I think like, there's just nudity.
Yeah,
I don't,
there's, and it's
than...
even semi-nude. It's not even like full.
Right, and yeah. It's female nudity.
So the film, just to be clear, is... It's Under the Skin. All right, we're going to, and Kelly says it's bad.
Yeah, but she says that for everything.
We're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half of the program. I'm trying to be rigid today.
Yeah.
Then we'll do another half hour, 30 minutes for folks. A little bit short on the fun half, but still, it's another 2 hours. We did, I don't know, 43 hours of podcasting this week, so.
A great way of staying tight is talking about how we're going to stay tight for a long time.
If you could just let me make my point.
But Sam, no, seriously, I know that you support teachers, maybe touching kids, we disagree, but it's okay. I'd want to actually go on a different
start
point.
Start the music.
You're on the record.
We'll be back next week. Don't forget, it's your membership that makes this show possible. Become a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. We'll put a link on majority.fm to Matthew's eBay site. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY to get 10% off. We'll be right back after this.